You're listening to the Armed American Radio Network, brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. And now, your host, Mark Walters.
Hour number two of Armed American Radio. If you are with us for the first hour, if you're just joining us, welcome to the broadcast. I'm your host, Mark Walters, the Ordinary Guy columnist with Concealed Carry Magazine, a.k.a. The Ordinary Guy. Nothing ordinary about me, depending on who you talk to. Concealed Carry Magazine is the flagship publication of the U.S. Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. Please join us at usconcealedcarry.com. It's a wealth of information, believe me, a wealth of information. The organization is growing at a very, very rapid pace in today's political environment. Get off the wallet. It's $39 or $49 bucks, and it's worth every penny. The magazine and the forum itself is a wealth of information. So pick us up at usconcealedcarry.com. I would like to welcome our newest listeners in Silverdale, Washington. Megatalk, KITZ, welcome to the second hour of Armed American Radio. You are on the Armed American Radio Network, and it is truly a pleasure to be with you tonight. Believe me, truly a pleasure. Welcome to the broadcast in Silverdale, Washington on KITZ. Tucson, Arizona, we've got a lot of listeners in Arizona that pick us up from all over the state on the internet feed. Tucson, KNST, you will be joining us on Armed American Radio Network, hopefully in the next couple weeks. We're working that out right now, but that appears to be a done deal. A little bird told me, and that bird comes from a very reliable source. Our guest the first hour was Terry Ike Clanton, and I've asked Ike to stick with us for the second hour, and he was kind enough to do so, so we're going to bring him back and talk a little bit about some of the gunfight at the OK Corral. If you're just picking us up for this first hour, a history lesson it's been, folks. Put your boots on, pour yourself a whiskey, kick them up, listen to the rest of this program, and get the history of the gunfight at the OK Corral in Tombstone, Arizona, 128 years ago this month on those dusty streets. We're taking you back in time. It's an awful lot of fun. Feel free to join us at 877-956-9566, 877-956-9566, or you can email me live on the air. Mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. I want to apologize. Our guest was for this first half hour was going to be Alan Corwin, and Alan will be joining us on another broadcast in the very near future. The invitation is there, and we're back with Ike Clanton. Ike, welcome back to Armed American Radio.
All right, great to be with you, Mark. This is a lot of fun tonight, and I think we're getting a lot of good history out there.
We are, and a couple of emails have just come into us. You know, I was talking with the producer, my producer, Sean, who I should give a hello to. The show is being produced by Sean Young, doing a great job for us. He always does. We got a couple emails. One of them, flat out, this is good radio, keep it up. The second one, and that comes to us from our friend George in Utah. George, thanks much. Thumbs up. I couldn't agree more. The other one here just came in, and this was a question that says, Mark, it's fun to hear another side of history. Might be the truth, might not be. Terry brings a great story to the table. I do enjoy USCCA, and now that Terry Ike has been on your show, I will definitely be listening in. If you would, tell Ike Murdoch says hello. And if your listeners want a good time on Tuesday nights, Haunted Saloon is the place to go at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. Thanks so much, Jay Galen, a.k.a. Murdoch. I take it you know Murdoch.
He's a fan of the Haunted Saloon show, absolutely.
Now, they're listening in on the Haunted Saloon for sure, so welcome everybody on the Haunted Saloon to the broadcast. I guess we're being beamed out live on Haunted Saloon right now?
No, the Haunted Saloon is actually a web an internet TV show, and we're on every Tuesday night, hauntedsaloon.com, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and we're in a saloon. We're actually, it's an 1880s saloon, and do check it out. We're live every Tuesday night.
Good deal. Well, I'll tell you what, let's give everybody in the second hour a quick update of what we were talking about before, which was the history of the gunfight at the OK Corral. We talked about the Hollywood production of it. We all know that Hollywood does things up, and they do a very good job. Obviously, they made some great movies. One thing I wanted to ask you about, the movie Wyatt Earp, a little bit more historically accurate from Wyatt Earp's standpoint, but what about the Tombstone portion? Because there are some similarities. I look at it like this. The movie Tombstone was more cartoonish.
Well, you know, the thing is the movie Tombstone was way more entertaining for sure, and Doc Holliday, you know, Val Kilmer played about the most entertaining Doc Holliday you'll ever see, and in my opinion should have got an Oscar for it. I mean, he did a great job and all of that. And Hollywood, again, You know, I'm always on the other side of the coin on this deal because it's always my family that gets maligned, and my family's the one that takes it in the shorts, you know, because I want to see the true history and I want to see what happens. But, of course, Ike Clanton will forever be Wyatt Earp's fall guy. And if they ever make another one, it'll probably be the same way because they had to have a good guy and they got to have a bad guy. But like I said, I have the screenplay. I wrote it, and it's called Tombstone 2. The working title is Tombstone 2, The Other Side of the Story. And I would love to get, you know, but I need money. It takes money to put it together. And if we can ever get it on the silver screen, it shows the other side of the story. It's not the same story. It goes through the death of Ike Clanton, which is very interesting as well, because he was flat-out murdered out in the middle of nowhere. And I know if you watch the movie Tombstone, it says he was killed in a robbery. There was no robbery. It was out in the middle of nowhere. And he was flat-out murdered. So,
and he was buried in an unmarked grave, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to jump ahead of myself here for just a second, but this is a fun conversation, so we can do that,
mm-hmm.
and we can go whatever direction we want to go. He was buried in an unmarked grave, and I understand that you are now working on it. I've actually got, because I did my homework here, Ike, I actually have a copy of a newspaper clipping from, I believe, Tucson, where they're talking about how the proprietors, or the city, I guess, the city of Tombstone, mm-hmm. would not allow you to bring Ike's body back and bury him alongside his family mm-hmm. in the famous Boot Hill Graveyard. Tell us about that.
Funny story. That's actually turned out to be a funny story, because what happened was I wanted to forever, even though that I knew Ike Clanton was killed out in the middle of nowhere, and I knew there was a 99.9% chance I'd never find the grave, but I wanted to put together a search party, and I wanted to finally put it to rest that we couldn't find the grave. So before I did that, I sent a letter to the city of Tombstone and the Chamber of Commerce and everybody, and I want, what it said basically was, I want to memorialize Ike Clanton. I want to have the funeral the man never had. I want to put him in, put a marker up next to Billy Clanton and Old Man Clanton in Boot Hill, because I'm going to put together a search party. I'm never going to find him. Okay, well then, about 2 weeks later, I told, at the bottom of the letter, I said, if you're going to bring this to city council, please call me so that I can come there in person and tell everybody why my intentions are. About 2 weeks later, a friend of mine called me up from Tombstone, and he said, hey, Ike, you know that thing you were talking about? He said, they shot it down last night. I got in my car. I was in Los Angeles at the time. I got in a car, and I drove straight through the night. I got there in the morning. It was an 8-hour drive to Tombstone, drove through the night, get there. And I went in and talked with Ben Trawick, the resident historian there, and I told him what had happened. And he said, well, go get it in writing. So I went over to and got it in writing, and that they said that they weren't going to do this and they weren't going to let me bury him in Boot Hill because it was a historical landmark and nobody was going to, you know, they weren't going to have to dig up other graves to accommodate Ike Clanton and all this stuff. And I went and called ABC, NBC, CBS, and the AP, and it was out on the wire an hour later, and I'm not kidding. I almost fell apart and fainted the next day when I went down there, and there were satellite trucks at Boot Hill Graveyard. And we went out live on ABC, NBC, CBS. It was a worldwide news coverage, and they asked me. Of course, I already knew what they were going to ask me. Now that the city of Tombstone says they won't bury Ike Clanton here, what are you going to do? And this is, Mark, this is, quote, what I told them. I said, the only thing I can do now is investigate the possibilities of having Old Man Clanton and Billy Clanton removed from Boot Hill and take them to where Ike is. Oh, man, they went through the roof. They thought, oh, this is crazy. You know, they were all animated and everything, and then they had one of the city council members says, well, I don't know if that Clanton, I don't even know if he's kin to the Clantons anyway. I think all he wants to do is sell T-shirts.
You got to be kidding me. That's what they do in the gift shops. Listen.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so then, now, 2 months later, I went out and I found the grave with a grave expert, James Browning, who, the late James Browning, bless him now, man, he's looking down on us right now because we're doing this, but James Browning was a professor at the Citadel and a very smart man and a grave expert on the Old West, and I took him with me and we found that grave. And once we found that grave, those same city council members were like, oh, well, you know, maybe we'll change our mind if we really did find the grave. And I told him, you know what? I own a 16-acre mining clave on the hill overlooking Tombstone. And I said, you guys already made your decision. Nope. I decided that if we were going to dig him up, and we're going to put him up on the hill, and I'm going to build a huge monument for Ike Clanton and a T-shirt shop right next to it.
Listen, I've been there. Listen, I've been there many, many, many times, and I, you know, I can appreciate what you're telling me because, you know, I can visualize what you're telling me.
Well, the thing is next and now nowadays. Now this is years later. Now I have a retired policeman named Ron Hyatt, who is helping me now, and we are. I have been back to the grave in July. I went twice to the grave with my friend Ron, and he was come on board to help me. And the grave is still there. It is unmolested. We are going through all of the deals right now. He's going to the DA probably this week or next week. We're going through all the channels to have Ike Clanton dug up and brought back to Tombstone and have the funeral the man never had, and we're going to bury him in Boot Hill.
Beautiful. Stick around, everybody. We'll be right back with Ike Clanton after these messages on Armed American Radio.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast. We are going back to work with Ike Clanton. This is way too much fun. 2 hours is just not enough here. I want to congratulate Chip Watson in Lansing, Michigan area. You got a free USCCA membership. We appreciate the call. Scott Frazier in Silverdale, Washington area, the beautiful Puget Sound area of Washington State. You got a free membership to the USCCA. We appreciate it. We are back on live with Ike Clanton, Terry Ike Clanton, the fourth generation cousin of Billy Clanton. I guess it would make you the cousin of Ike Clanton, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Of course, Billy Clanton was murdered at the OK Corral. And, folks, you know, I know this is compelling radio, and I'm getting emails coming in now, Ike, that are fun. I'm going to read you another one here. Mm-hmm. And my producer, Sean, during the break was telling me, man, don't worry about not getting phone calls. We got hammered with phone calls last week and the week before. What's happening is people are really enjoying listening to this stuff across the country. So they're coming in emails now, and I want to read you one here. This is Mark. My wife and I are CCW carriers, and we are listening to your show this evening. We both love the Old West and are fans of the Haunted Saloon Show. Terry Ike Clanton is very interesting, and we are enjoying the Clanton side of the story of the OK Corral gunfight. Can Ike give more history of other members of the Clanton family during that time period? Thanks for having Ike on your show, and we are future listeners. Have a great evening. That comes from Stephen Johnson in Toledo, Ohio. Stephen, we appreciate you listening. Thanks for sending in the email. Go for it, man. Let's talk about Old Man Clanton. What a great history.
Well, Old Man Clanton was a very interesting man. He was not, there's no history books or anything that talk about Old Man Clanton in any town in anywhere. In other words, there's no newspaper articles that have him in Tombstone or anything like that. The only thing that he was in he was in Charleston, obviously, because he bought a saloon there. But again, there's no newspaper articles to really put him there. You know what I mean? He did own a saloon in Charleston. He was basically in the movie Tombstone. You remember Curly Bill at the beginning of the movie says, you know, I'm Curly Bill Brocious. They call me the founder of the feast. Okay.
Well, y'all step aside. Y'all killed two cowboys.
Well,
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
It. Now that movie line was originally written for Old Man Clanton, and it was supposed to be played by Robert Mitchum, who ended up being the narrator of Tombstone. They cut Old Man Clanton's part completely out of Tombstone because Robert Mitchum got sick, okay?
Right.
But the founder of the feast was Old Man Clanton, and that's where the way the movie was really supposed to be written. That was Old Man Clanton. Now, Old Man Clanton, the killing of Old Man Clanton and the burial of Old Man Clanton ties in with what we were talking about, the reburial of Ike Clanton and my motive and my passion for bringing Ike Clanton back to Tombstone. Okay, well, Old Man Clanton was killed on August 13th of 1881, which was a couple months before the OK Corral gunfight, and he was killed in Guadalupe Canyon by Mexican soldiers. Okay, and a lot of people nowadays think that Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday were in on the killing of Old Man Clanton. Well, one of the only survivors of that was Billy Byers, and he said that it was Mexicans, okay? And so anyway, they buried Old Man Clanton right there where he fell in Guadalupe Canyon. A year after, now remember, a couple months later, Billy Clanton, the youngest son, was buried in Boot Hill after the OK Corral gunfight. A year after the OK Corral gunfight, Ike Clanton and Finn Clanton, his brother, went down to Guadalupe Canyon and dug up Dad, okay? And I'm guarantee you, a year later would be pretty ripe to put a guy on a body on a buckboard and bring him back to Tombstone. But they were passionate enough to bring Dad back to Tombstone to be buried in Boot Hill next to Billy Clanton. With that in mind, and knowing that Ike Clanton was murdered on June 1st of 1887, and buried where he fell out in the middle of nowhere in Arizona, I am passionate of. Don't you think that Ike Clanton would want to be brought back himself to be buried next to Dad and little brother?
You'd think so. Where do we stand with all that right now?
Well, I'm working on it right now. That's why I can't say too much about it. But I'll come back on your radio show when we get closer. But we're actually working on it right now. I've got this retired police officer working on it right now, and we're we are really working on it right now, and hopefully we're going to get this done.
Yeah, well, I hope you do, because, you know, people, and I'm one of them. Well, I'm one of them. Listen, let me tell you what my foray into Tombstone was back when the movie first came out, back in, what, 94, 95?
Uh-huh.
And I was talking with a guy. I've always been a big history buff, and I said, you know, that's a real place. And my buddy said, no, it's not. I said, what? Come on. Yes, it is. It's a real place. You need to open a book when you didn't learn any history in your lifetime. I said, we need to go there.
Yeah.
Two months later, we were there.
By the way, Mark, I'm getting a lot of compliments about your show on Twitter, too. Again, I'm getting a lot of stuff coming across Twitter. For those of you that do tweet on Twitter, I'm Ike Clanton, I-K-E and C-L-A-N-T-O-N, Ike Clanton on Twitter, and follow me. We have some fun on there.
Yeah, definitely, and keep them coming. Keep the communication coming. I just want to give you another one we just got here, too. Ask him for me, what guns did Ike use, and does he own any of those pieces of history? That's a great question. That's from Roger in Los Angeles.
It is a great question, Roger, and thank you for that. I actually do have a gun, and I've never really brought it out. I've showed it a couple times. I do have one of the guns of the Clantons, and it was given to me when I was about 7 or 8 years old by an old man that gave it to me. It's an old Hopkins and Allen shotgun. It's a double-barrel 12-gauge shotgun, and it was given to me. I did try to... There's numbers on it and everything, but Hopkins and Allen does not have any records of that far back. But all I can go on is the fact that this old man gave it to me because he wanted me to have it because it was one of the Clanton's guns from Arizona. So it's not for sale anyway, and I'm not trying to, you know, put it up for $1 million for somebody to buy or something. I'm not doing that. But I do have that, and it's locked away, and eventually I might put it in the Tombstone Western Heritage Museum. We've talked about that, and it's a great museum in Tombstone, by the way, on the corner of 6th Street and Fremont.
Now, let's go to the courthouse, the 1882 courthouse in Tombstone. There's
place.
A museum in there. That's a beautiful place and a lot of very rich history, and there are a lot of rich history on Ed Shiflin.
It is. It's a state park. It was built in 1882. It's the courthouse. And it's on the corner of 3rd and Toughnut Street. Five guys were hung in the courthouse. They were involved in the Bisbee Massacre, and they were actually hung there. It is a museum. It's a great museum. Unfortunately, the state of Arizona is having problems with their state parks now, and they've actually closed up the museums on certain days now too. So it's not open on every day. I hate to hear that, but it's not going anywhere. But they've just started closing up some of the state parks right now because of the economy.
Yeah, I hate to hear that too, because I've ventured in there every time I've been into town,
mm-hmm.
and you know, there's just something different to see every time that you go there. Shiflin Hall, really neat. But listen,
one thing, Mark, that people off the beaten path don't really go to. It's only been open for a few years, but you don't want to miss it because it's absolutely beautiful. It's at the corner of 5th Street and Toughnut. When you go to Tombstone, don't miss going to the Good Enough Mine Tour.
Right. Yeah, that just recently opened up. You know, I've heard some great things about that. In fact, that's right across from Nellie Cashman's restaurant over there, isn't it?
And I'll tell you what, it is. It's right across from Nellie Cashman's. And this Tuesday night on the Haunted Saloon, I have a 5-minute piece where you'll actually go down inside the mine, and I'll give you a little teaser tonight. This Tuesday night on the Haunted Saloon, hauntedsaloon.com. It's 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, hauntedsaloon.com. We'll be on live, and I will show you some of the mine.
Beautiful. Listen, stick with us when we come back from the break. I'm going to ask you some questions about the original Clanton gang from the beginning of the Tombstone that Robert Mitchum, the movie that Robert Mitchum was doing there with his voiceovers. And we'll be right back on Armed American Radio right after these messages.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
We're back on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Walters. Feel free to join the broadcast at 877-956-9566, 877-956-9566. Don't be afraid to pick the phone up and call. It's a great opportunity to talk to Ike Clanton. We're having a lot of fun here, and this discussion is very compelling, especially for me because I'm a big history buff of that time period in this area. The area that we're talking about out there in Tombstone is a lot of fun. Definitely get involved and, you know, check up on that history. Feel free to give us a call. Ike, at the beginning of the movie Tombstone, and you and I had spoken about this briefly over the past couple days when we were preparing for the show, Robert Mitchum at the voiceover at the beginning comes on and he refers to the Clanton Gang as the earliest form of organized crime in America. You want to set the record straight?
Yeah, Ike Clanton was John Gotti of the Old West. Sure he was.
Yeah, right? I mean, come on. So set the record straight here. No, we hear that they were rustlers and all. What was the deal with the Clanton Gang and the Cowboys?
You know what? The thing is that, like I said, everything has been brought up because of Hollywood. Hollywood has created all of this. I mean, you know, whether they were cattle rustlers or they were mavericking out, you know, if they took cattle that was out, you know, and that was not branded, well, maybe they did. But they did buy and sell cattle and they were bringing it to Tombstone, and they were selling it to the butchers and the meat markets, and the Earps and everybody were eating the meat that they were bringing into town. It was a very gray area in those times, but let's not forget, folks, I'm telling you right now, like we always want to say, well, it was a different period of time, and it really wasn't. They had laws. They had police officers. They had courts. They had judges. They had attorneys. If they were really cattle rustlers, they were never arrested for it, okay? And they were never, in other words, if they were big, bad outlaws, the rest, you know, they would have been brought to trial and convicted of it. Ike Clanton was, in fact, a range banker, okay? When he was coming 14 miles south from the Clanton Ranch to Tombstone, he would stop by the outlying ranches as he would come in, probably get a drink of water, something to drink, maybe something to eat on his ride into Tombstone. He would collect the money of the people out on those ranches and bring it and do their banking in Tombstone. So this big, bad outlaw, Ike Clanton, was doing the banking for the people of Tombstone out in the outlying areas? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's money. Let's talk about this for a second. Money. You know, Tombstone was a very wealthy town.
Well, and so were the Clantons. And the thing is there was a lot of jealousy going on there because I think the Earps really wanted to have the money the Clantons did have. And, you know, I have documented fact that Ike Clanton, for instance, deposited over $3,000 in October of 1881 in the Bank of Tombstone.
Right.
You know what $3,000 was in 1881?
Yeah, and you know, these guys had money. These guys had money, and there was an offer, and I believe it's on your website. I'll have to check it out, where someone had offered Ike, I think, $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
What was that for?
You know, again, that was a. I think that was a spin doctor. So I think that was to try and spin it away from Doc Holliday, you know, being involved in that the March 15th, 1881 staged attempted holdup where he killed those guys.
Yeah, you're talking about where Bud Philpott was killed on the Kinnear Ridge stage.
Basically, they were going to offer Ike Clanton money, dead or alive, to bring the killers to justice. And, of course, the killers were all killed before they could ever be brought to justice, because if they were ever brought to justice, they would have blown the whistle on Doc Holliday. So they never came to Tombstone. They were never brought back. They were killed. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, you know, I've got so many questions for you, and yeah, I could carry this conversation on with you easily for another hour. Let's talk about the reenactments that occur in Tombstone right now relative to the OK Corral. And you were talking about it's Steve and Keith?
Yeah, and Steve and Keith does a wonderful job. It's Huckleberry Productions, and they perform at 2 o'clock in the afternoon every day. And then on the weekends, Friday and Saturday and Sunday, they perform at 2 and 4. They put on a great show. It is a theatrical production more than a reenactment. They're real actors. They do a great job. They actually, it is the characters look like the movie Tombstone. It's kind of based off of the movie Tombstone. But Stephen Keith wrote it, and we don't know exactly what they were saying in the vacant lot from the cowboys' point of view, you know, because all the movies always show the Earps and Doc Holliday in Hafford Saloon, and then they do the walk down. Well, if you go see the show at the OK Corral, the whole show is about the cowboys and what was going on in that vacant lot before.
Yeah, you know, I had an opportunity to sit down with Stephen Keith a couple years back. I mentioned in the first hour, and we had a really good conversation that evening. It was the night, you know, I told you I walked out of the Crystal Palace Saloon, and I heard that, you know, I'll be your Huckleberry.
Uh-huh.
And this, you know, this guy dressed just like Doc Holliday, and believe me, a great theatrical production it is, and he plays the part very well.
Right.
He does the Val Kilmer part, and he's got it down to a T.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny. I cracked up, and the next thing I know, my buddy and I were sitting across the street at Big Nose Kate's talking with him at great length, and he began to tell us a story that the gunfight at the OK Corral, he says that history never tells. And you'll know the beginning. He starts it down the street about what at the hotel across the street from the Birdcage,
mm-hmm.
and he's arguing over a girl. Is there any truth to that, or is that just theatrics?
Well, I think that he wrote it like that. That's what he wants to believe, I guess, you know, in his mind. But he wanted to believe that I can't think of her name. The niece of Wyatt Earp, off the top of my head, was Hattie. I believe it was. Her name was Hattie. And she was out for Tom McLowry or Billy Clanton, and there was a lot. They, you know, that's part of their play and part of their theatrical deal. I don't know if there's any truth to it historically, though. Could be, but I don't know where.
I've never seen that. I've looked for it, and I've never seen that written in any history books. That doesn't mean it's not true, for sure.
It's a theatrical deal. You got to take it for what it is, though, but it's a great production, and it really is a great show. And if you ever go to Tombstone, you know, there's different shows in Tombstone, but make sure you see the one at the OK Corral that's done by Stephen Keith and his Huckleberry Productions. And when I travel back and forth to Tombstone a lot. In fact, next weekend will be Eldorado Days in Tombstone.
Yeah, that's right. That is. October, Eldorado Days.
Yeah, that's right. Eldorado Days is next weekend. And depending on what the Angels do, the L.A. Angels, I might be there.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's definitely a good time. Like I said, I haven't been out there at that time of year, but there's an awful lot to do. And I know, let's talk about the mine, the Tough Nut Mine.
Oh, great.
What's up with that? I remember when they were putting that together, it was new that, I guess a couple years ago, I seen that was going together, and I guess it's up and running now.
There's a lot of things about that mine that I have to tell you. In fact, if you go on my website, tombstonearizona.com or clantongang.com, they go to the same location, go into the history section, and I have the mine. And I was probably, in those pictures, I'm probably about 12 or 13 years old, and I go into those mines, and you'll see the old rickety staircase and all that stuff. But what I have to tell you is, Mark, when I started as a little kid, I was probably 8, 9, 10 years old when I started playing in those mines. My mom and dad didn't know it.
Yeah, right.
But we used to go pull the grate back. There was like a metal grate, and we used to pull it back, and we'd go down in there with flashlights, and we used to go down in there. And we went down there when I was a little older. I was probably about 15, maybe 17, and I pulled it back, and we went down in there with flashlights. And we went all the way into Big Nose Cates, the bottom of Big Nose Cates.
You can get through there from the Tough Nut Mine across from
Mellicastle? Not only can you get from Cates underneath the ground, you can go to Cates, but there is a tunnel that goes from Big Nose Cates to the Crystal Palace, too.
Now, don't tell me you're coming up through the Swampers thing behind the gate downstairs.
No, you know what? I got to tell you, the Swamper thing actually is. That's where it is. It actually, that actual mine comes up right where that Swamper thing is. But when you go there, you're going to see a hole. When you go down the basement of Birdcage, Big Nose Cates, when you're there, you go down there. They have T-shirts and stuff down there for sale and things. You look in there. They dug that hole. It's right by the door. They dug that hole about 10 years ago when they opened up the basement. That hole.
Oh, don't tell me that. You're ruining a great time for me.
No. That hole was not there. The hole that was, but looking straight ahead is the actual mine. That actually does come up in there. But that hole that's right by the door, they dug that. That was not there.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to ask you when we come back from this upcoming break. I'm going to ask you about some of the ghosts out there at Bude Hill, because I believe I've seen a photograph of you with something really strange behind you.
Yeah, that's the one that's coming on TV on the Ghost Lab this Tuesday night.
All right, well, we're going to talk about that. So stick around, everybody. Pour the whiskey. Kick your boots up. We'll be right back with Terry Ike Clanton right after these messages.
Going into battle, you would want all the ammunition for your gun you could get. But presently, ammunition and reloading supplies are in shortage. Now think about this. If you have no food, all the guns and ammunition will be useless against the population control breadlines. In the present battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your most important and only true ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it, now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Will you buy it without proper identification? Will it make your children sick? Quarantine? Will you feed yourself or go to the gathering center for immunization? All of these problems disappear if you have a good supply of storable food. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. Storable food puts you in control. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com. Call 800-409-5633.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Smith, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Walters. And we are very pleased to be in your living rooms, your cars, your computer monitors, wherever it may be. Thanks for joining us on the broadcast. We appreciate it very much. Silverdale, Washington, you're live. Megatalk KITZ, we appreciate it. Tucson, you're coming up next. If you're picking us up out in Arizona on the live feed, that's great. And everybody else around the country listening to us on the stations that we're currently on and growing, outgrowing our britches like crazy. I want to let everybody know I'm trying to give you the vision and take you back to the old dusty streets. I'm not advocating anybody sit there and drink whiskey. I'm kind of trying to give you that vision of the old West Saloon. So keep that in mind as we push forward with Mr. Terry Ike Clanton. A lot of very cool things to talk about here. We're talking about the history of the gunfight at the OK Corral, the history of Tombstone, Arizona, while we've got Ike on the phone with us and get his family's perspective and a great lesson it's been. Ike, the Ghosts of Tombstone. You know, at 10 o'clock this morning, I was just flipping through the channels, and and here comes on the History International channel, the Ghosts of Tombstone. And I got to tell you, the last time I was there, I was at the Tombstone Motel, and they've got a real rich history out there in room 119. Uh-huh. I didn't have the guts to go, and I did walk by it on my way back from the Crystal Palace, and I got chills up my back. I didn't want to stick around. But I've seen a really cool photograph of you at Boot Hill Cemetery. What's up with that? Tell us about that.
The paranormal people think it's one of the greatest ghost photos taken of all times. I took that of a buddy of mine, Kelly Carlisle, and he was the first time in Tombstone, and he wanted to dress up in some of the Old West stuff that I had and go out and take black and white photos. So we went out to Boot Hill, and it was early in the morning. There was nobody out there, and I made sure that there was nobody behind him, because it would have looked real stupid if he was dressed up in the 1880s standing there in Boot Hill and there was a guy in Bermuda shorts behind him with a camera or something, you know. So I was careful not to make sure. Plus, we were the only ones really there. It was real early in the morning. There was nobody out there. And I put him off to the left in the photo because I wanted Dragoon Mountains. They were real pretty in the background. So I put him off to the left of the photo. And then about 2 weeks later, he calls me up after, you know, after we were in Tombstone, and he called me up and said, hey, remember that photo you took of me in Boot Hill? And I said, yeah. He goes, are you sure there wasn't some guy standing behind me with a flat-brim hat? And he looks like he's holding a knife. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Anyway, I got my car and went over to his house and checked it out. And the rest is history. It's a scary-looking photo, and it's on my website. Go on tombstonearizona.com or clantongang.com. You can also get there from my Twitter page. You know, go find Ike Clanton on Twitter. Anyway, it's an amazing photo, and that guy is in the negative. I did not create that. That is not photoshopped or anything like that.
You can clearly see the hat. You can clearly see what appears to be a knife. You know, I don't know if I didn't read about the knife, I don't know that I would have picked that up. But you can clearly see human figure behind you, and you can clearly see that it's not somebody that's staged there. It's a very bizarre photograph.
And it's not a double exposure either. It's not something like that. It really is bizarre. You have to see it. Look at what it is, and come up with your own conclusions. Tombstone is I'm convinced it's a very haunted town. I think there was a lot of people violently killed there. I think that there's the spirits are still there. Like I said, I never really believed in ghosts till I took that photo myself. Because me and Kelly are really the only ones that know for sure. Because you could you know speculate that I created that or photoshopped it all you want, but I know that it's for real, you know. And the thing is I have had so many experiences since I took that picture. You know, I got to tell you, it's just amazing. I've just had so many things. And like I said, I travel back and forth from Tombstone to Los Angeles, and being an actor, you got to move around a little bit, you know. But I, whenever I'm in L.A., in Southern California, I don't really experience anything that's paranormal at all. And when I'm in Tombstone, everything happens. You know, my cupboards open and close. I brought some books to Tombstone to give to the Tombstone Library, and I put them in the basement. And I brought in the boxes, Mark, and this is no kidding. There was two boxes. I put them by the bottom door, you know, by the door in the basement, and they were both in boxes. Well, 2 weeks later, I went back in that basement, and there was a book out in the middle of the floor. And I was like, oh, that's strange. There's a book out in the middle of the floor. I didn't put a book out there. You'll never guess what book it was.
What was it?
The Exorcist.
Oh, geez, oh, Pete.
And that's no kidding. That's God is my honor. And I left it there. I left it there for at least a month and a half. And a girlfriend of mine picked it up and put it back in a box and goes, oh, forget it. You know,
we'll let the listeners decide what they want to decide about that. I know I'd have been out of there. And listen, you know, I've been in the birdcage many, many times. A tremendous amount of history in that old building, and you know, the bullet holes and the Hunley's still that, you know. The history of that place from 1881, or actually it opened up on Christmas Day of 1881, ran continuously through 1889 before its doors were shuttered after the mines flooded and the fires in town. And it remained closed until what I believe 1939, when it was picked up by the Hunley family.
Yep.
And when they opened it up, and just an left everything in its exact spot as it was when it was shuttered in 1889. So it's a really beautiful piece of Western history. In fact, probably the best piece of Western history that still survives today. And it is the original building. And I, you know, they say there's an awful lot of activity out there in there.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk real quick, Terry, about some of the other colorful characters that your boys hung out with. Let's talk about Johnny Ringo real quick. What the heck was his deal?
Johnny Ringo was disturbed from when he was a kid. He watched his dad accidentally blow his head off on the way to California with a shotgun. I think he was disturbed from that time on. He was a heavy drinker. I believe that he committed suicide. I know they say Doc Holliday killed him and White Earp killed him and all that. I believe that he committed suicide. He was a very troubled young man.
Now let's go the Vendetta, a very famous Vendetta.
Absolutely, and White Earp never stood trial for the killing of Frank Stillwell. I still don't believe Frank Stillwell was the one that shot Morgan Earp. I believe that the very next day he was seen in Tucson, unless they had some kind of a speed train. Frank Stillwell didn't do it. There was even speculation. There's even newspaper articles that Morgan Earp was killed over over a bad gambling debt and had nothing to do with the gunfight at the OK Corral at all. Remember now, the Earps were gamblers and all that. I still think that somebody might have shot and killed Morgan Earp entirely over something totally different.
Yeah, they didn't lead very clean lifestyles, and history has been history has treated them very favorably over the years. And let's face it, a very colorful lifestyle that they led, and that is a very, very colorful part of American history, especially in that area.
Right.
You know, I guess when you we should clear up. Frank Stillwell was killed at the train depot in Tucson.
Well, yeah. In fact, I just got a Twitter. It says Mark needs a Twitter page.
Yeah, you're right. I've heard a lot of that, and my producer's been telling me that. And if he'll ever get off his duff and call me and tell me how to do that, Sean, I know you're listening.
Murdoch.
Let me know. We'll get that taken care of. But Stillwell was actually killed at the, and they were taking Virgil. He was being escorted back on his way back to California.
Yes. And Frank Stillwell was at the train station, and Ike Clanton wasn't even in. If Ike Clanton was at that train station, they never saw him. So in the movie Tombstone, that's another deal. They never saw, the Earps never saw Ike Clanton there.
And Johnny Ringo's case is very fascinating because Johnny Ringo is found out at the San Pedro River. About
Johnny Ringo's
what?
You mean Curly Bill.
Well, where was Johnny? Curly Bill was in the San Pedro. Where is Johnny Ringo's body right now? It's about 60 miles out of town.
Yeah, he was the one that committed suicide by a tree out by the Sanders Ranch. I've been there.
And you know, I've always wanted to take that that Jeep tour out there and just can't find the time. And, and I'm going to have to make the time to do that the next time I'm out.
Yeah, the other thing is, too, Mark, I want to tell you that, but we kind of skipped over the ghost thing, is I started the ghost tour. I started the original ghost tour in Tombstone 16 years ago during Clanton days. And this year I will do it again on Saturday night at 10:30. I take everybody out on a free walking tour. We've seen live apparitions, full apparition ghosts on the tour with like 60 to 100 people. Sometimes we've had 150 people there to go. And Clanton Days is November 12th through the 14th. That Saturday night, free ghost tour. And I started that, and now they have ghost tours nightly, every night in Tombstone.
Yeah, that's pretty weird stuff. What about music? You ever heard music out there in front of the birdcage? Now, I've stood out there at 11, 12 o'clock. I got to say, I haven't heard anything, but I haven't really given it an opportunity. I like to go and do the history and say, wow, you know, Marshal Fred White was killed right where I'm standing and this kind of stuff. Just the history really takes you back.
I haven't had a lot of experiences inside the birdcage, but I've had a lot of experiences in Tombstone, period. I've had a lot of things and a lot of people. I've heard chains inside the Shefflin Hall, and I've had a cowboy that appeared and disappeared, both basically disappeared and wasn't there in the old Legend Saloon. But a lot of like opening of cupboards and closing of cupboards, and you hear people walking in the hallway and stuff like that. A lot.
You know, I've actually stayed at the Larian a couple times, and I had no idea until afterwards, when I did a little bit more research, that I stayed in what was supposed to be a haunted room at the Larian. And, you know, I got to tell you, way too much fun. Terry, it has been so much fun having you on this broadcast and getting some of this history from you. Such a colorful period in American history. And, you know, no better month to do it than 128 years ago this month in October of 1881. And I can promise you that I'm going to see you in Tombstone, and we will have some fun together because I'd love to see some of the things that you could show us out there. I encourage everybody to get out there. Thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. Check out Terry Ike Clanton at ClantonGang.com. Visit ArmedAmericanRadio.org. You can visit my gun site at TheAmericanGunfighter.com, or my website, TheAmericanGunfighter.com. And please join us at USConcealedCarry.com. We appreciate it, everybody. Stick around for next week. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.